Welcome to Helping Older Workers Find Employment. My name is Neva Fairchild. I'm National Independent Living and Employment Specialist for American Foundation for the Blind at the Center on Vision Loss in Dallas. I'd like to welcome Linda Baker and Lori Truesdale from Easter Seals. They're going to talk to us about Social Security benefits and returning or going to work. Linda?
Thank you, Neva. We appreciate you inviting us, and we're happy to be here. Lori and I work for Easter Seals North Texas in the Work Incentives Planning and Assistance Program. We serve individuals who are receiving both Title II disability benefits and Title 16 supplemental security income benefits that live within 12 counties here in North Texas. And they also happen to be between the ages of 16 and 64. We serve counties Collin, Dallas, Delta, Denton, Ellis, Hunt, Johnson, Kaufman, Parker, Rockwall, Tarrant, and Wise. What are Social Security benefits? As I mentioned, the Title II disability benefits is called Social Security Disability Insurance, SSDI. And Title 16 is your supplemental security income. And that one is based on economic need. Now, we also talk about insurance. Medicare, of course, is our country's health insurance program for people who are age 65 or older, and certain people with disabilities who are under 65. And it provides basic protection against the cost of health care. But it does not cover all medical expenses or the cost of long-term care. There are several parts to Medicare. Part A is the hospital insurance. Part B is supplemental medical insurance that helps pay for doctors, outpatient hospital care. And then Part D is the voluntary prescription drug program. The other program that helps with, for persons that are receiving benefits is the Medicaid program. Medicaid is a joint federal and state program that provides no-cost or low-cost health coverage to eligible children, families, pregnant women, the elderly, and people with disabilities who have limited income and resources. So, the next question is, what do we do? The Work Incentives Planning Assistance Program collects information from the client and from Social Security. We verify your benefits. We provide basic information and referrals and provide ongoing case management and follow-up services. We collect all this information so that we can create an individualized benefits summary and analysis report. This report includes a summary of your current benefit situation, an analysis of how employment may affect your Social Security benefits, your health care and other benefits, what work incentives may apply to your specific situation, and employment services and supports that could be utilized. We also create a work incentives plan, which actually breaks those goals down into manageable tasks. So let's start with Title II disability work incentives. I'll speak about each one of these individually, and we can talk in detail, and if there's any questions, feel free to contact me directly. The first one that you would become available to you if you were an SSDI recipient beginning work is the trial work period. This allows a beneficiary to test his or her ability to work. Income does not affect SSDI benefits during these 9 months. It's considered a work incentive, or it's considered trial work period when gross earnings exceed the amount in 2016, it's $810. And it won't end until all 9 months are used within a 5-year period. The next part is the extended period of eligibility, which continues for 36 consecutive months immediately following the end of the trial work period. SSDI cash payments will continue any month that your countable gross earned income is below substantial gainful activity. And 2016, for non-blind individuals, that's $1,130, but for persons who have a visual impairment, it's $1,820. Cessation and grace period comes after the trial work period when you are determined to be making over SGA, and this is a determination that's made by the Social Security Administration. Now, there are impairment-related work expenses. These dollar amounts are subtracted from the gross monthly income when calculating substantial gainful activity. And expenses that could qualify for this are items or services that enables you to work, items or services needed because of impairment that you pay for out of pocket that is not reimbursable by anyone, and the cost is reasonable. Subsidies and special conditions happen when an employer or a third party provide an individual with extra accommodations, supervision, or other special assistance because the beneficiary's disability. Social Security may apply a dollar value to these accommodations and subtract that from your gross earnings in order to help you stay under SGA. Now, there is such a thing as an unsuccessful work attempt. It's an effort on the part of the beneficiary to do substantial work, which they had to stop or reduce their earnings below SGA after 6 months or less due to their disability. The next work incentive is expedited reinstatement. EXR is a 5-year safety net, a quick way to get benefits back for people who have stopped receiving benefits due to work and find themselves unable to engage in SGA-level activities. You can receive up to 6 months of provisional benefits, but you don't have to file a new application to get your benefits started back. Now let's talk about Medicare, because most people are really concerned about what happens to that when they go to work. Medicare is protected under the extended period of Medicare coverage. It protects you for about 93 months after you finish the trial work period, which is 7.75 years. Don't know why they picked that, but that's what they got. Section 301 allows for the continuation of benefits under both Title II, which is SSDI, and Title 16, which is SSI, for individuals whose disability benefits would ordinarily have been terminated because of medical recovery. As long as they're participating in the vocational rehabilitation program, they can continue to receive their benefits. Now we're going to switch to SSI, and I'm going to let Lori talk to you.
Work incentives? Sorry.
Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to talk to you about SSI. I love my job, and we have such extensive training, don't we, Linda, when we're going, and our manual is like an encyclopedia. It's really thick. Yeah,
it's more than that.
But also, I want to reassure you that I've also been there. I'm also a beneficiary, disability, and SSI as a wheelchair user, so I've received all of these work incentives, and I'm here today to tell you that they do work and to encourage you about that. With SSI work incentives, the good news is you're going to always have more money in your pocket by working than not. Who out there can use more money in your pocket? I think everyone here is raising their hand. So let's talk about how you can have more money in your pocket by working. The good news is when Social Security is deciding how much your SSI, Supplemental Security Income, should be after you go to work, they don't count all of your earnings. They count less than half of your earnings when you start back to work. You know, when I was thinking about starting back to work, I wanted to interview at the local bank, you know, because I thought, wow, that's going to put more money in my pocket. I like that. But then a friend stopped me and rained on my parade a little bit, and she said, Laura, you don't want to do that. You can only earn $65 a month before you lose everything, your Medicaid, your SSI. You really don't want to do that. So, and I saw the panic in her eyes when I talked about working. I thought she was going to hyperventilate. I didn't know if she needed to do some meditation when I talked about going to work. So that derailed me from really starting to work. I didn't want to lose everything. It seemed like the world was going to end. So I didn't go back to work. But, you know, the WIPA program, I always like to think of us as Mythbusters, you know, the Ghostbuster theme song. You know, when you hear something weird, you call us and we'll decipher through the myths out there. But as we go through this, you'll see that she only knew a little bit of part, a little bit of the formula. She didn't go all the way through the formula with me. The first exclusion Social Security has, and this means they're going to ignore your earnings from work. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to take away your earnings that you received from work. They're ignoring some of your earnings. So the first one is the general income exclusion, and that's $20. So right off the top, they're going to say, we're not going to count the first $20 you earn a month. Now, don't ask me how and why they chose $20. They have a thing for anything with twos in it, sixes, eights, and sevens. They really like those numbers. So
maybe they forgot a couple of zeros or something.
Yeah, I think so. And then after the $20 exclusion, they're going to say, we don't want to count all of this money either. We're just going to count $65. We're going to ignore the next $65. So let's say you go to work and you're able to earn $885. Well, now they just have you down at earning $800, which that's good news for you, because when earnings from work go up, your SSI goes down. So you don't want them to count all of your earnings. Now, after the $85, they're going to divide by two your countable income, and now you're down, in that example, instead of $885 that they're going to count, they're only going to count $400 of that when they're deciding on how low to go with that SSI check. So, you know, most people freak out when I get to that part. You know, they're going to subtract $400 from my SSI check. That's not good, because I was getting $733, but you have to add back into the equation what you're earning from work, and that's like over $1,000 in your pocket by working than not working. Now, I will say, when I received my first full-time job offer, I was so excited. I was like, yay, I'm going to get to go shopping this weekend and really get some wardrobe. But then the party was halted when I thought about my Medicaid benefits and insurance. And then I flashed back to that friend, well-meaning friend, that said, you're going to lose everything if you earn over $65. But I had a good benefits counselor that said if the reason why you lose your SSI cash payment is because of working, you're still going to get to keep your Medicaid and still be eligible anytime your earnings drop down to get an SSI check. The code to keep Medicaid is 1619B, and that's been a godsend for me because I can work full-time and still keep my Medicaid and attendant care and all that. And Medicaid pays for my attendant care, so if I were to lose that benefit, then I would, you know, wouldn't see a real gain because, you know, I do have a lot of attendant care to help me be independent in the community. So that when Linda said, you know, insurance is a big thing, it really is for beneficiaries. It's not the 733, you know, no one's really that worried about that money. It's the Medicaid, Medicare, you know, and being able to afford all the medical expenses. Now, there are some work incentives that will put more money back into that SSI cash payment. A little bit more ways they can ignore some of your money from work, and one of them is PASS plan. Plan for achieving self-support. It's a self-funded program. Like if you have a goal and it's going to, you need to save money in order to reach that goal, you can fill out a PASS plan and, you know, it's a map to where you want to be. Like, I want to be a social worker, but I need a car in order to get to work. I need special software. You can save money and not be fearful of losing your SSI that way, too. You can put things in there like startup money to do self-employment and that kind of thing. And we'll help you write your PASS plan if you're interested. So be sure to call Linda if you want more information on that asset building program. And then Linda's talked about in the other program about impairment-related work expenses. It's the same kind of deal in SSI, but what I want to really focus is blind work expense. Blind work expense can put more money back into that SSI cash payment when they're looking at your earnings. And this is like IRWE's impairment-related work expense on steroids, because you can count off just about anything as a blind work expense. It doesn't have to be related to blind, you know, it doesn't have to be connected to a condition. It could be work-related, like lunches at work, your taxes, just a lot of different things. So you'll want to be sure to report your blind work expenses to Social Security when you report your earnings from work so they can put that money back into the SSI cash payment. Linda also said, talked about Section 301, if a medical recovery were to happen, you would still be able to keep your benefits. Like if you were at the doing a program like DARS or DBS, you could keep your benefits until that program's over. So I'll hand it back over to Linda so she can talk about how to get a hold of us for individual benefits planning. And thank you so much for having us today.
Excellent. Great job, Lori. Thank you so much for sharing. We are located at 1424 Hemp Hill Street in Fort Worth, but please feel free to telephone. My name again is Linda Baker. My telephone number is 817-759-7929, or you can email me at lbaker@ntx.easterseals.com. That's EASTERSEALS.com. And thank you, Neva, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Linda. And thank you, Lori. I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What if people live outside the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Are there similar resources there that they can go to talk to?
Oh, yes. Now, realize that we serve 12 counties in North Texas, but there are other WIPA programs throughout the state, and they can find those by, actually, you can Google them. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, they are throughout the United States.
So Google WIPA?
W-I-P-A.